T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to Breakfast Ball. I'm Ben Charleston, joined as always by Ryan Hannibal. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. So week two of live golf was last weekend, and another exciting tournament, I must say. Another exciting finish on a Sunday.
Worked out well with the rain delay. Got to go out for a nice Father's Day dinner, and then came back and watched the end of golf. And you're right, it was good. Tons of guys at the top of the leaderboard. A lot of guys in contention on that back nine. And, you know, Webb Simpson, who a lot of people picked actually going into the week, came out on top. And, again, like you said, it was a good week to come back. You know, the tour was back, but also you had, you know, an exciting finish with a number of the top guys, you know, competing on Sunday.
Yeah, and a lot of them shooting very, very low on Sunday. Even at that tournament, it's, I guess, usually kind of for a PGA Tour, I guess, a little bit easier course.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised, but are you a fan of, like, those type of tournaments where guys are shooting 8 under and shooting -20 overall?
Not really. Like, I prefer, like, I don't like the, I mean, I do like the U.S. Opens for the U.S. Open, where it's just battle to make par. But I also want, like, the swings. Like, I want, you know, the chance to be there for a guy to make bogey and a guy make birdie, and you have a two-shot swing in a hole. And, you know, that was hard to have, you know, last week at Harbortown just because of how easy the course was. And I guess, you know, I like to see some birdies, but I'm not really a huge fan of the final score being, you know, in the 20s. Like, I, you know, around 10's fine for me. Like, if you go out and shoot, you know, in the high 60s all 4 days, that's good enough for me. But once you get into the 20s, that's, you know, not as enjoyable I'm not complaining, but I just prefer the other stuff.
Yeah, I'm similar way. Like, yeah, if I can get -12, something like that, where it seems like guys, you know, they play solid golf every single day, but if you shoot, you know, -2, -3, you're not out of it on a single day. Because when you're shooting, yeah, like -8, -7 every day, if you have an average day for some of these golfers, even -1, you're basically out of it after the second day. So
yeah, the cut was what, -4? Like, that's high for a PGA Tour tournament. Like, think about it. If you have an average day, you're missing the cut.
Yeah, yeah, and you saw it with quite a few guys who had decent days. Like, nothing spectacular, but they weren't spraying the ball over the place. They were -2, -3, and they missed the cut. So yeah, -4 is kind of high, and that's kind of a problem too, where you do kind of eliminate some good players pretty early on because of such a high cut line right there. And, right. And we'll probably see it again this weekend with the Travelers Championship, but we'll get to that later as we continue the podcast.
Yeah, again, I'm glad that golf's back, and, you know, this is – and it's also probably the case, too, is, like, we're seeing a number of these top players. We're seeing, again, this week playing in these tournaments, and maybe that's part of the reason why we're seeing such low scores. Like, and I, you know, usually you're not going to have Brooks Koepka, Rory, you know, Justin Thomas, and the RBC Heritage, because it's the week after the Masters. And so I think these tournaments that normally don't get the, you know, big players playing are now playing, and that could also factor into why the scores are so high. And also, you know, this tournament was usually played in April, where the weather is, you know, colder, and it's not, you know, 80, 90 degrees, and, you know, you can hit the ball further, the greens are more receptive, blah, blah, blah. So I think there are a number of factors leading into the higher scores, and that could just be something that plays out over the course of the rest of the summer when the tour starts to get back to a not normal, but, you know, back into the new normal, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, the different weather does change things up a little bit. And do you think not having fans with there at these tournaments is helping these guys too a little bit, where they might not feel as much. I know we talked about last time that it seemed like Sunday there was a little bit more pressure, but this tournament, I don't know, that final day, it didn't seem like there was many missed shots or drop shots. It was more.
Yeah, I read some quotes yesterday from the guys talking at the Travelers, and Jordan Spieth said, like, it's as easy as it's ever been to win on tour because of the pressure, like, basically saying you have no pressure on Sunday. Like, it's great. It's easy. It's easier for a new player to win just because there's no pressure. But then to the flip side of that, like, I think people are talking about how difficult it is or how harder it is just without the fans for, like, sight lines. Like Jordan Spieth was saying, sometimes that he, you know, points to a guy behind the flag wearing an orange shirt, says he's my aiming point, and now they don't have that. Kind of the same thing with the grandstand, they don't have that either. And then, like we talked about last time, like balls, you know, that would normally just be a free drop are now turning into, you know, a 30-yard pitch shot. And then also, I don't think it really is coming to play much, but the wayward drives, like normally you have fans finding those balls, and you know, now they could turn into lost balls. I don't think we've really had that, but I'm actually surprised. I thought that the lack of fans could lead to a little bit of higher scores, just because of the way that things are set up, the no sight lines, the easier to just throw the ball into a grandstand and get a free drop. You know, some of those shots could now turn into trouble. So I guess I'm a little surprised, but to the bigger point, it's easier to win without fans just because of the pressure.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see that. I don't know if we'll see those lesser-known guys winning some of these tournaments to start out this season, just because there will be so many top 10, top 15 guys at these tournaments, which you're seeing. So I think that might be a little bit an effect for some of these guys, where they're not used to this. I get they're on the PGA Tour, but the same amount of competition that they're having. And like you said, RBC is usually after the Masters, the Travelers, another tournament after a major, where you're not usually getting top 15, top 20 guys at these tournaments. So I think you won't be seeing as many lesser-known up-and-coming guys winning these tournaments. I think it is going to be a lot more of the well-established guys on tour who will be winning these tournaments.
Yeah, and I think that we'll see. I think coming up the next week's in Detroit, the Rocket Mortgage Tournament, I think this could be a week where guys take off. Yeah, like the top players take off, because these guys can't play every single week. I mean, they've been playing for this is their third straight week, and then like we talked about, they're gearing towards August when you have all the majors. So I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see some of these bigger names start to take off a week here and there, and maybe this starts next week. So maybe that is a chance for the younger guys and newcomers to get their shot. But like you said, with all these top players playing, it's hard for a lesser name to jump onto the scene and, you know, win a tournament.
Yeah, well, and then so, and at the RBC Heritage, we had our first positive COVID test on, was it Friday or Saturday? Nick Watney.
Friday, yeah.
Yeah, Nick Watney had to pull out of the tournament because of COVID. Nothing, I know that another, was it Corey Champ came out this week on Tuesday. He got tested and came out positive. So there's been a couple, but it doesn't seem like from the Watney situation anything else has spread. So I guess that's good, but I think the big question is, if a guy's in contention and on, say, Saturday night or Sunday he comes in and tests positive, are they kicking him out of the tournament? What, like in a major, if Rory McIlroy comes in tied for the lead on Sunday but tests positive for COVID, are they they keeping those rules the same, or are we thinking
It's a tough thing because of the way that – so they do the testing before the tournament. So basically you get cleared, you know.
Tuesday.
Right. And Watney came forward and said that, you know, he wasn't feeling great and that's why he had the test. So I'm wondering if, like you said, Rory McIlroy is in, you know, the top five going into Sunday and he doesn't feel great going into that Sunday morning. I can't see him going to the tour saying, I got to get tested. Like, I just can't see that. And it's sort of like the NFL, the concussions, like they kind of let these things slide a little bit depending on the player, the circumstance, you know, here and there. So it's sort of up to the players to police themselves in a way. And in that scenario, I find it hard to believe any player would, you know, self-report themselves.
Yeah.
But then also, it's also up to the players to really keep safe. Like, I mean, the tour has done a decent job of, you know, giving them a bubble and staying in the hotels, giving them the plane, But we've heard just some of the quotes after Watney's positive test, like Sergio Garcia had the quote saying, like, you know, Watney didn't deserve to test positive. Like, there are plenty of other guys that deserve to test positive. I think that's saying that some of these guys on tour aren't taking it as seriously as some others, and maybe they're going out to restaurants. They're not wearing their masks when they probably should. So it's really up to the players themselves, I think, to police themselves, and that's kind of what it's turning into. Like, I guess they're changing things on the fly, obviously, just because it's so unknown, but ultimately it's up to the players.
Yeah, so I hope the PGA Tour, and hopefully nothing else really comes of it. Maybe if you get one positive test a week, that's you don't want that, but that's better than, you know, having to shut down the whole tournament. But,
well, that's what I was saying too. Like, you know, they test like 300 guys, including the caddies, each week. So times 2 weeks, one test, that positive test out of 600, you know, and then this week, so one test out of two tests out of 900. That's pretty good. I mean, I know it's, you don't have any, but when you look at the percentages, like, that's still pretty good. And I think that leagues, especially the tour, knows you're going to get positive tests, and it's just something you have to have the proper protocols in place to keep it to one person. And I think so far they're doing a good job.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be. And hopefully with these tests coming out, and if a couple more pop up or something, players will start doing a better job of policing each other, where it's like, hey, like, if we reach a certain number, like, you guys might be enjoying yourself now, but we're going back to 3 months of being shut down again. Like if we're not smart about this, we're able to play now, but if we start getting stupid and getting lax, this could be over for us, and we're sitting on the couch again.
What would you say is the number that would have to cause the tour to shut a tournament down?
That's tough.
Like, is it a number or is it like a player? Like, if it's like five players, one of them's Brooks Koepka.
No, I think it's more of a number for golf. Like I could see, like, in the NBA, if you get, yeah, like, two guys, but it's LeBron and Kawhi and Giannis or whatever.
Right.
That's tough for the NBA to get over that. But, like, golf, I don't know. If Koepka or Rory went down, I think you could still play. You could still play a tournament. You see it, like, in, yeah, years past. Like we were talking about the RBC, it's usually not a,
right,
huge star-studded field, so you can get away with it. But I don't know. That'd be tough. I'd, like, 10 –
yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Because you're going into a week with, what, like 120 guys, something like that? Like,
yeah, sometimes more, yeah.
So, I don't know. If it's a few tests, I think you can get away with it. A big name, it's not huge. But, yeah, I think if you get like 10, 20 guys, you probably want to shut it down just for that week, just so it doesn't spread, yeah, and maybe control, get to, right, next week. But yeah. I don't know. It's always tough with, like, thinking about how many numbers, like, what would it be to shut it down. But I think if you get, like, one couple here and there, you're fine, as long as you do a good job of finding it. And
Which I think they did. Like, they did a good job with the Watney thing. Like, the guys that he played with on Thursday were immediately tested, and they came back negative. So, you know, they're doing the proper things with the contact tracing. And, you know, as long as they continue to do that, you know, things go as they have. Like, Cameron Champ wasn't even in the tournament last week. He came from, I think, his hometown is Houston, Texas, which is obviously, you know, one of the,
yeah,
bigger case states right now. So that's probably where he contracted it. And then Graham McDowell's caddy speculated that he got it flying on a commercial flight from Texas to Orlando. So that's really – both of those cases aren't really tour related. They're, you know, on the tour, but they weren't contracted at, you know, a tour event. So that's a good sign, I guess, for everyone involved.
Yeah, and I could see that if this – like, stuff like this kind of keeps happening, where guys are going out, maybe the PGA Tour is starting to test guys on Saturday also or something. And,
yeah,
and even at, like, the majors, throwing an extra test in there, which, to be honest, if, as long as the tests are available and they're not taken away from other people, I think that's fine. And I think it's smart to do that, where, you know, if a certain amount of tests, and I'm guessing they have a number in mind, like we were talking about, I'm guessing they have a number of how many players, and they want to keep that going so they don't have to worry about shutting the tour down for 3 months, which, again, would, if you shut the PGA Tour down for 3 months, it's over for the season. All the majors are, right, gone, all the big money there is gone, and they're waiting until the spring or whenever to restart again.
Yeah, and I think it's also key to note that, like, I'm sure they learned from the Watney experience last week. Like, the tour got some crap for allowing him to still be at the facility on Friday when he was waiting for his test to be read. And he was around, you know, other players. So maybe now the tour says there's a designated area for guys that are waiting their, you know, test results, that they can only go to this part of the range and it's roped off or whatever, or they're not allowed at the course at all. So they're just learn. They're going to learn on the fly, just like they're learning for the telecast, how they're going to do that. They're learning with the protocols and how to set up tournaments. And maybe they do a better job of setting up like player dining so that the players aren't, you know, don't feel like they have to go outside to a restaurant, or maybe they give themselves like they go to a restaurant themselves and rope off an area just for tour people. Like, I think there are ways that to work around this to make it safer, and I think just like everything around the country, the tour is learning on the fly as well.
Yeah, and I think obviously certain cities that the tour goes to, that'll be a big thing too, because I'm guessing each state obviously has different regulations. So I think that'll be something the PGA Tour has to learn. It's like, all right, South Carolina, everything was open. Like, we got to do a better job of making sure these guys are staying in the bubble, and other places they might be more forced to stay in the hotel or stay at the course to get food. So, yeah, like, it's going to be each week the tour's going to learn something. I think that's going to be true for every sport that comes back. They're going to have to learn on the fly. Yeah, you can have these great safety protocols in place and all these plans in place, but you're going to have to be willing and able to make changes as you learn.
It's also not good, but like they're in two of the states that are seeing increase in testing so far, Texas and South Carolina. Now they're going to Connecticut, Minnesota, or Michigan, Ohio for 2 weeks, and Minnesota. So they're in that Midwest, and well, I guess New England this week than the Midwest, which are better off for cases. So maybe that's a good sign for the tour too, where they're going to areas that cases aren't as high as where they've been the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, so hopefully there's, you know, no more positive tests. If there is, it's very limited, but it sounds like they're learning from it, and looks like they're going forward. They're doing a good job. So hopefully we won't have to see golf get shut down again. But this week we got the Travelers Championship, like you said, going to Connecticut, so New England, and it's a tournament that we'll see again, probably high scores like we saw at the RBC's Heritage. It is one of those courses that players can kind of bully around a little bit.
But yeah, again, this is the course that Furyk shot the 58 at, right?
Yeah. And again, it's another strong field. It's 10 of the top 11 players.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing as the last couple of weeks.
So it will be another very good tournament, and you're going to see a lot of low scores, I'm guessing. And someone who, to be honest, I think might pull it out this week is DeChambeau. He's one of those guys who I didn't think him trying to overpower and bully the courses was going to work. But I think he's been, top five the past 2 weeks, or top three?
Yeah, I think it was third and eighth. He's been right there.
Yeah.
And I kind of am with you in the way that, like, his length hasn't really been able to pay off as much as the two courses they've played. And this week, I think, is a chance that it actually can pay off, where the holes are straightaways that he can, you know, get close to the green on these par fours and par fives, and not, you know, have a dog leg to deal with where it's not, you know, he can't cut a corner or so. So I think that this is a week where DeChambeau could really show off his length, and it gives him probably a better chance to win. Another guy like Patrick Cantlay, he's making his first start, you know, back on tour this year. He didn't play the first two events, but I really like his game. I think he's one of the upcoming guys on tour. He's played well at the tournament before. I wouldn't be surprised if he's up there on Sunday. And, you know, kind of like we talked about before, like just with all these big guys playing, you're bound to have like a Brooks Koepka, a John Rahm, a Rory win. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is the week. I know Webb Simpson's kind of a bigger name, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is the week where we have, you know, a really big name come out on top.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It is one of those tournaments. Again, like we're saying, it's usually not a huge field for the top 10 guys, top 11 guys like that. So I would not going to be surprised if it is a big name guy who pulls it out this week again, which it seems to be doing. The former winner Jordan Spieth, though, he seems to be just an absolute roller coaster this season.
Oh, so inconsistent.
Like I thought I was like, all right, he's back. He's figured it out. He's back to the old Jordan Spieth, and we're gonna see him competing with you know, Thomas, Fowler, those guys again. But he was a former champion here. I think he finished like minus 17 when he won it at a playoff.
Yep.
But it's just like he's one of those guys who has won Masters. He's was top of the world for a few years and just can't seem to figure it out. I wonder if this is a tournament he seems to do well at more often than not. So it will be interesting to see if he has finally figured out a more consistent game. Because you would hope last weekend.
I mean, he had a good week at Colonial. I think it was top 10. And then he goes out on, Thursday, RBC. Has like a triple bogey to start, but then has six straight birdies on the back nine to get it back into contention. And then he didn't have a great weekend. So it's just so inconsistent. I'm sure it's frustrating for him, you know, because clearly if you have six straight birdies, something's working. Yeah. He had a top 10 finish, you know, the first week back. So he's there, but it's just the lack of consistency. And maybe, like you said, this is a good week for him to get that back and to have good feelings at this tournament. So, you know, I'm a big Jordan Spieth fan. I would like to see him back, you know, in the winner's circle, but it's a tough follow because the highs and the lows, you go from making triple bogeys to six straight birdies. I'm sure it's even harder for him. I mean, clearly the game's there. It's just trying to put it all together on a consistent basis. That's just so hard for him right now.
Yeah. And if you see him figure it out, it would be great. It's just great for the game to have the more good players on the tour, the better. And he's such a different type of player than a lot of the guys now. Like, you know, Thomas, McIlroy, DeChambeau, Koepka are just these monster drivers of the ball, and they hit everything so far. And Spieth isn't that guy anymore. He never was that guy, but he's, you know, like more like a Webb Simpson where he hits it in the fairway on the tee, makes a nice approach shot, and he putts. So
right,
it's nice to see different types of style of play out there, and that's what's great about having him there. He was winning when he wasn't the longest guy out there. He didn't drive the ball 350 every single time. So
right.
It's nice to have those type of guys on tour where it's no longer or not just hit it as far as you can overpower the golf course. It's a strategy game with some of these guys too.
It would also be good too, just because he's so friendly with those guys, like the JTs. He's a friendly guy. Like, just to have, like, let's imagine Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth in the final group of a major on Sunday. That'd be entertaining. I think they would have some fun with it, or as much as you could at a major. And I think that'd be good for the sport to have, you know, guys that grew up playing golf together that are close friends off the course competing, you know, in the final round of a tournament on Sunday.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, Thomas, Fowler. Who grew up playing. Yeah, if you see something like that, it's a different experience on a Sunday major where, you know, maybe they're giving themselves a little bit harder time and
right
getting a little bit more after each other. So it'd be a different experience to see them out there together. But yeah, like it seems like everyone or most of the guys haven't really felt the rust from the layoff, and which is good for the tour. You're seeing a good golf. A lot of exciting finishes, a lot of exciting rounds. So it's been great so far for the PGA Tour for 2 weeks, and hopefully they continue on this third week.
Yeah, it'll only get better with as the tournaments grow. I mean, I know Travelers is a bigger tournament up here, probably not nationally, and then, you know, they go to the Midwest, but then you have, you know, Jack's tournament at the Memorial, and then you get the WGC at the FedEx in Memphis, I think. Then you get the PGA Championship. So we're basically a month away from the first major. So things are starting to really amp up, and I think players are getting used to everything, and everybody's getting used to things so that they can be sort of at their peak, you know, come early August for the PGA.
Yeah, I'm excited for Tiger to make his first appearance. I think that will be big, but we'll obviously talk about that when he plans that. And real quick before we wrap up, the PGA Championship announced that it will be at Harding Park, no fans. Yeah. Any of that surprising?
No, not at all. I mean, I would like to have fans, but it's just where it probably wasn't going to happen. I know California is pretty strict out there with their rules and whatever. Like, I think we're getting 8,000 fans at the Memorial in Ohio in a couple weeks. So, like, that's a sign that fans could be coming back. But it's probably going to depend on the state and each state where they're at, and then also probably how that first tournament with fans goes. Does it go well? Doesn't go well? I don't know how many tournaments will actually have fans for the rest of the year. It's probably just a few here and there. And they still have golf, so I guess that's really all that matters. And if having fans is going to potentially impact not having golf down the road, it's probably not worth it. I still think you can have, you know, 8,000 fans spread out over the course. I think that's fine, but for the majors like that, being in California, I'm not surprised. And I wouldn't be surprised if the U.S. Open in New York doesn't have fans either. That's probably tough. That'll be tough to have as well.
Yeah, it will definitely be interesting. Like we were talking about earlier, it'll be learn from the experience for the PGA with that first term with 8,000 fans, because you know you can social distance with that many people, but we'll see. They're gonna probably have to have
Tiger
force telling them like, hey, if Tiger's there, like you're saying, everyone's gonna be on that hole. It's like, all right, you got a social distance. Like you might not be able to see the guy you want, but.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how that goes, and I hope it goes well, and other places can start having fans, and that'd be great to see back in golf. But yeah, if it's golf and no fans, I'll take the golf compared to trying to force fans there and cause more problems.
Absolutely. But like you said before, just good to have golf back, and things are going great so far.
All right. Well, let's enjoy the Travelers Championship this weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.